Good morning. Today I'd like for you to take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 25, and I'd like to consider the parable of the 10 virgins. Beginning in verse 1, the Scripture says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. And go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now how gracious is the Lord of glory to proclaim absolute truth. As he is truth, nothing but truth comes from him. It is from and by his word that all questions and doubts are dispelled. Now from the parable we are now considering, we're told of the kingdom of heaven, or this is the gospel church state before the return of our Lord. Matthew 13:24 clarifies this. This parable speaks of 10 virgins and their relationship to the bridegroom. Now the Scripture says that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now there's 3 things I'd like to consider. I'd like to consider the difference and even the similarities between the wise and the foolish. Obviously, there is a difference. Secondly, I'd like to consider the actions of the wise and the foolish. And then thirdly, I'd like to consider the final state of both the wise and the foolish. Now let's first look at the similarities. And in these similarities, we'll even notice some differences between the wise and the foolish. Now, considering these differences between these wise and foolish virgins, we're to keep in mind that they are all referred to as virgins. Well, obviously, there must be somewhat of a difference because one is referred to as wise and the other is referred to as foolish. Now, they both possess lamps. Now, that word lamp there refers to the light by which they walked. Now, some walked savingly by the light himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, by his guidance, by the Holy Spirit, by the light of his presence. The others, obviously possessing a lamp, walked in darkness. In the book of Matthew, speaking of this darkness, in chapter 6, starting in verse 22, the Scripture says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." The Scripture says, thirdly, they both went forth to meet the bridegroom, some in the exercise of faith in him and in his coming, in love toward him, longing to see him, waiting for him. The others, in a way of merely outward professing, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. While there appeared to be similarities between the two groups, the Lord made a great distinction between these virgins. One group was referred to as being wise, prudent, sensible. not wise in their own conceits, or in the things of the world, but wise unto salvation, sensible to their need of Christ, wise to trust Him for righteousness and justification before God, wise to cast themselves totally upon His mercy for pardon by His blood. The other group was foolish, or that word is referred to as being dull or stupid. Obviously, they were not foolish in their own estimation, but in the business of salvation, they had built their hopes on birth privileges. They were foolish as to their own righteousness. They thought that they could perform acts worthy of acceptance before God. Or they were foolish in that they even hoped that somehow God's mercy would extend to every man without exception, and that He, that is God, somehow would find it within Himself to bring all men to heaven with no regard to judgment, to mercy, and to faith, these weightier matters. They were foolish as to the holiness of God and His justice and His hatred of sin. Well, the Scripture says that these foolish took their lamps, or their profession of hope, the light in which they walked, but they took no oil with them. There was no possession of the Spirit of God, who is the oil of gladness, the anointing, which teaches all things concerning Christ. The foolish were unconcerned as to their need for the oil of God's grace to fill, to maintain their walk and their position. They saw no need for oil at first. They neglected it, made light of it, and obviously, even in their heart, denied it as being useful or needful. Herein was their folly. But the wise took oil, the Scripture says, in their vessel and their lamps. They were enlightened by the Holy Ghost as to their need of God's saving grace. This oil was in their vessel. That word means a small vessel for carrying oil. This is a picture of their heart. This is the vessel of God's making. Ezekiel 11:19 says, I will give them one heart. I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. Oil within the vessel speaks of a man's heart knowledge of Christ. It's the principle of light and love and holiness that is wrought within by the Spirit of God. The oil of grace was not naturally within them, but was freely given by God Almighty and powerfully wrought within them, making them to be wise in Christ. But the Scripture says that they took their oil in their vessel with their lamps. That is, their external profession was governed by the internal work of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, while the bridegroom tarried, well, not as to God's timing, but as to the expectation of the saints, you see, Almighty God tarries in our estimation, for His time is not come, and all of the elect must be gathered in. The Scripture says, while He tarried, they all slumbered, that is, the wise and the unwise. The wise slumbered in a sleepy frame of spirit, prone to idleness, which lies in an indifference toward Christ because of the presence of sin, and too often an anxious care for the world, being wearied in good works and spiritual exercises because of the weakness of their flesh. And the wise are readily admitting this. They know they see through a glass darkly. They know they're prone to wander. The foolish slumbered, on the other hand, in great carnal security within themselves. They rest in their external profession only. The wise, though they slumber or nod because of the frailty of their flesh, they are children of the day and not of the night. Though they sleep, their heart is awake, and they slumber, yes, but with grace within their vessel. Well, secondly, I'd like to look at the action of the wise and the unwise. The Scripture says at midnight a cry was made. this cry or this outcry began with "Behold," which signifies the certainty of His coming. Nothing is more certain and to be depended on. Christ will come in amazing glory, and His bride shall be bidden to go meet Him. The cry was, "Behold, the Bridegroom cometh." At that moment, He had not arrived yet, but I think this cry is the cry of the preachers of God's free and sovereign grace, ministers of the gospel, the voice of a great multitude that shall surely awaken men by God's Spirit to their hope in Christ, or, if left alone, to their damnation for rejecting Him. The Scripture says, "All the virgins arose and trimmed to adorn or garnish their lamps. The wise arose out of their slumbering frame, truly ready to meet the Bridegroom." Though believers fall often into low condition in their exercise of grace, they rise again, for they are kept by the power of God unto salvation. The foolish arose also, which may intend some awakenings of conscience or attempts at reformation in order to obtain salvation, but were destitute of the oil of God's grace. They said, "Our lamps are gone out," or, that is actually interpreted, "Our lamps are going out," that is, in their own estimation. They said to the wise, "Give us of your oil." They knew now that the wise possessed something that they didn't. They perceived something of grace by the bright burning of the lamps and the confidence by which the wise were going out to meet the Bridegroom. They said, "Give us of your oil," but their foolishness was exposed because of the ones to whom they appealed. Grace only comes from the God of all grace. The foolish virgins are saying now that they detect something of the insufficiency of an empty external profession that will support a person with confidence to meet God Almighty. The wise said that they could not give them oil, lest there be not enough for us. You see, the grace given every man is the exact portion from the Lord God Himself. They said, "Go rather and buy for yourself." This was wise counsel. That is, buy without money, buy without price, or, they were saying, receive freely. The foolish appeared to take the advice of the wise. They went to buy, but they didn't go to Christ. They tried to go another way, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's John 14:6. And while they were gone, the Bridegroom came, and those that were ready, that is, those clothed with the wedding garment, washed white in the blood of Christ, garbed in His righteousness, those with the oil of grace within their heart, those that have rested in Him, went into the marriage, and the door was shut. The door of hope, Hosea 2:15, the door of faith, Acts 14:27, but especially the door of Christ Himself, John 10:7. With the door now closed, the foolish returning virgins heard the word of the Lord's rejection, "I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I invite you now to tune to WNAB, Nashville 58, and hear Brother Henry Mahan preach a message on the free and sovereign grace of God. Until next week, thank you.